in watching that clip we just saw, I'm reminded that it's going to be in the twinkling of an eye.
Yep.
And a twinkling is faster than a blink. I don't know if you knew that or not. We blink our eyes, but a twinkle is faster than a blink. And in today's word from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you have the red letter edition, you're going to note that every word in today's scripture is from the Lord himself. I'm beginning in verse 24 of Matthew 13. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? When did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. And the servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling the weeds, you may uproot." Oh my gosh. "You may uproot the wheat with them, that both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvester, 'First, collect the weeds, tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat into my barn.'"
Thank you, Nick. And the Lord always adds his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word, the word of Christ. And Lord, as we open your word this morning, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, help us to hear from you and do it afresh as we look into this powerful story that you told us so that we could learn more about your kingdom and what you are like and how you want us to live. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Has anybody here ever had a battle with weeds? When you're doing your gardening, Lindsay says, yeah, when you're doing your gardening, it seems like weeds seem to overtake everything, don't they? You plant your flowers or you plant your vegetables in your garden, and before you know it, man, the weeds grow. And they grow where, and it's strange to me, the weeds will grow where it seems like nothing else will. Even between those little cracks in the pavement and the parking lots and sidewalks, those weeds will come up. I've even seen weeds growing out of people's roofs. I mean, it's crazy. Those weeds will grow anywhere. This morning, as we continue the series and the parables, we're going to be talking about the parable of the wheat and the weeds this morning, a story that Jesus told. And those weeds seem to overcome, and we can never seem to get rid of them. And I asked Kim if I could tell this story, and she gave me permission. But when she first started, when we were over at Bridgeville serving there, Kim got a job working at a greenhouse that our friends owned. And we're still good friends of those. But she first started working there, didn't know too much about plants or gardening at that time. And our friend Dave, who owned the greenhouse, said, "Kim, I want you to transplant these plants for me, to transplant them in this pot to this one and transplant." She said, "Okay." So she's doing her job of transplanting, and Dave comes back, and he said to her, he said, "Kim, what do you plant?" He said, I planted these. She said, "Well, you transplanted weeds." She wasn't able to tell at that point the difference between the weeds and the good plants. That's the whole point of the story this morning that Jesus told. Is that a sower goes out and his farmer was planting his field with good seed, with good crop, and he wanted the good seed to grow. But as he took care of planting his field while he was asleep at night in his bed back in the farmhouse, Gene, after the end of the day, and he was sleeping in the farmhouse, someone came into his field overnight and put a whole bunch of weeds there. And he didn't know about it. And then whenever they grew together and the good crop was growing. The wheat was growing, but the weeds were growing intermixed with it. And so the farmhand said to the farmer, do you want us to get rid of the weeds for you? And Jesus, telling the story, says, no, just let them both grow together till the harvest time comes. And when the harvest time comes, the harvesters will separate them and make up the difference will be made then. So that's a story Jesus told. So you say, yeah, it's a good story. We talked about these parables, but they have deeper meanings. As we looked at 2 weeks ago, these parables are told to put a spiritual truth alongside of a story so we can understand what Jesus is trying to teach us. So what's the point? What's Jesus trying to teach us? What's the meaning of this parable, sometimes called the separation of the wheat and the tares? And that's what it was in the first hymn that we sang this morning. Well, if you jump down to verse 36, after Jesus told this story and two others, the disciples came to him as they went into private in the house, away from the crowd. And the disciples came to him and said, explain this parable of the weeds to us. We don't understand what you were trying to teach us. What's this mean? What's the point of the story? So Jesus answered and said, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. That's Jesus. The field is the world. And the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom, those who were saved, those who are believers in Christ. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, those who are lost, those who don't know Jesus. That's the message here. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvester are the angels. So Jesus explains it very clear here so we can understand the point of the message. Then he says, as the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will set out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes evil and all who do evil, and will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But then the righteous will shine as the sun in the kingdom of heaven. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So that is Jesus' explanation of the parable. And he said, well, and the question remains, well, why would Jesus say, let the wheat and the weeds grow together in the field? Surely you would think, any good farmer, you want to get rid of the weeds. You don't want the weeds in your field, right? You don't want the weeds in your garden. You don't want the weeds in your flower garden because they overtake the good crop. But Jesus said in this story, let them continue to grow together. What's the point? The weeds represent those who don't know Christ. The wheat represents those who do. So what's the point Jesus is making? He said, it's a hard to understand the distinction. And we, as I studied this more, I understand a little bit what Jesus was trying to say. Because this story talks about the wheat and the tares, or the wheat and the weeds. And you say, well, if you have a weed growing in your garden, can't you tell it apart from the flowers? Can you tell weeds apart from the fruit or the vegetables you're planting? You can usually tell them apart, can't you? Most of the time, it's obvious. Kim says no, she couldn't because she was transplanting the weeds, so she couldn't tell them apart. But sometimes we can't tell the wheat from the weeds. And as we understand what Jesus is saying in this story, it will become clearer to us. Because the word Jesus used for translated weed here and wheat or a tares in the King James is the word talking about darnel. Anybody here know what darnel is? Darnel is known as wheat's evil twin. It looks exactly like wheat, but it's a poisonous plant and it's noxious. In fact, when it's consumed in small amounts, it can make a person intoxicated and nauseous. In fact, it comes from the Latin word which means drunk. But darnel is a mimic weed that looks and behaves exactly like wheat. And you cannot tell the difference when they're growing side by side. They look exactly the same, and that's the word Jesus is using here to help us understand this story. Here's darnel. There's wheat. Can you tell the difference between the two of them? At that stage, you can, but as they're growing, till they come to maturity, you can't. They look pretty much the same. The qualities are, in fact, as I did some more study about darnel, in literary text, as authors would tell stories and wrote down stories, darnel was used as a symbol of subversion. Keep that in mind. When Jesus said, an enemy has sowed this. So it was seen as a symbol of subversion, and the Journal of Ethnobiology states, quote, where there is darnel, there is treachery and toxicity. So because darnel mimics wheat and looks so much like wheat, you can't tell it apart until the harvest comes, until it comes time till they both mature. And when they both mature, then you can see, oh, this is wheat. This is darnel. And if you separate the wheat and the darnel, when they're growing together, you might end up pulling the wheat, the good crop, instead of the bad, because you can't tell them apart. In our world, as this applies to what Jesus is talking about, in our world is made up of two groups of people. Either those who are children of the kingdom who are saved, or those who are children of the evil one who are lost. And when you're out in a gathering somewhere, you're meeting someone, can you tell the difference by looking at them whether the person's saved or lost or not? We can't tell, can we? That's up to the Lord. He knows the heart. And when the harvest time comes, we'll talk about that, when the harvest time comes, that's when the distinction will be made. And so, they look identical. There they are, wheat and tares, or wheat and darnel, as they're growing side by side. But why Jesus said, leave them remain, is that's a field. With wheat and darnel, can you tell the difference? It looks the same while they're both growing together. But the harvesters, when it comes time to harvest time, we'll be able to tell the maturity, and we'll make a point of that. You'll see that later, how you can tell the difference when they become mature. But as they're growing side by side, you can't see the difference. So this story, there are six lessons we can learn from this parable, what Jesus is teaching us that we apply to our life, and what Jesus wants us to learn. And don't worry, they're not going to be long. They're not going to be here all day, but don't worry. And the first one is this, that where God is at work in the world, Satan will be active there as well. Jesus said that an enemy sowed the seed. First, the farmer sowed it. He sowed the good seed first. But then as he was sowing the good seed, the enemy came at night and he sowed the weeds. And so we know that when God is at work in the world and God is at work in our lives, Satan's going to be active there too. He's going to be fighting. From the very beginning, Satan has been challenging God. After God created the garden and put Adam and Eve in the garden and made everything good and said everything was very good, Satan entered that garden and already was at work trying to destroy it. And so, as we see God at work in the world around us, we're encouraged by that, but know that Satan is also going to be at work and going to be attacking. And in our own life, know that Satan is going to be trying to attack us, but we are on the winning side. But that's one of the things we see. The enemy is going to be active wherever God is. And Jesus said, I will build my church. I will build my church. I will do my work. But then he also said, but the gates of hell will what? Not prevail against it or overcome it. They'll try to attack it, but they will not. And that picture of what Jesus is saying in there is when we think of the gates of hell will not overcoming, and we get the picture that the church is on the inside and Satan is pushing against, and the church is playing defense and trying to stay against the attack and the onslaught. But that's not what that word means. When Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, he means the church is on the offense and Satan can't stand against what God is doing, because we are on the winning side. And yes, he'll be at work trying to sow his seed, but we know that God, the kingdom of God, will grow. So that's the first thing we see. Second lesson we can learn from this is that the weeds will grow alongside of the wheat until the Lord returns. Jesus said, let them both grow together. He says in verse 30, let them both grow together until the time of the harvest, and at that time, then they will be separated out. The harvest there is referring to the day that Jesus comes, the midnight cry. The day when God says to the Father, go get your bride. When the angel sounds his trumpet, the harvesters come and we are caught away to the Lord. And that's when the separation will occur. Until that time, the wheat and tares will grow together alongside each other in the field. So what Jesus is saying there is that even in the world, there's going to be made up of those who know Christ and those who don't. But even within his church, there's going to be those who are wheat and those who are weeds. And those who may not really know Christ and may have professed him or not, but never really been saved, never really trusted him. They don't really know him. And they may, Jesus said, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, is in the kingdom of heaven. Or his church, Big C, is made up of those who know Jesus, who are true to the word, and those who have departed and are coming and saying they worship God, but of not holding to the truth of his word anymore. And those are the weeds. And someday that separation will come. But Jesus said, until he returns, we're going to have that struggle of knowing that there's going to be those who don't know Jesus and alongside those of us who do. And you say, well, why is the Lord allowing that to continue? Because the third thing we see is it may seem like evil is prospering and flourishing, but God will set it right in the end. Sometimes it seems like the weeds are overtaking the good crop, don't it? It seems like the weeds are outgrowing the harvest. And the weeds are getting bigger, and the harvest is getting smaller. And it seems like in our world, when we look, it seems like, man, evil is advancing. Things are getting worse and worse and worse, while those who love God seem to be. And you know, the authors of Scripture struggled with that. They said, Lord, why is it that it seems like those who don't love you prosper? Why is it seems like the evil prosper, and those who love God seem like they hit all kinds of suffering? Ever ask God that question? Why does it seem like those who are evil seem to prosper? I'm trying to do what's right, and I'm suffering for it. And it may seem that time for a while. It may seem like the weeds are winning. But in the end, when the harvest comes, then everything will be set straight. And we're going to look at what happens at the harvest in a minute. But that's the hope that we have. That things will be sorted out by Christ. In Psalm 34, turn with me to Psalm 34. And this is just one of many psalms where this is addressed, where the psalmist expressed that feeling of frustration to the Lord. This whole psalm deals with it. It was written by David. David wrote this psalm when he pretended to be insane, when he was hiding before Abimelech because he was being hunted down by King Saul, King Saul was trying to kill him. We talked about David when we looked at his life. And this is when David had done nothing wrong against Saul. Saul was trying to kill him, so he was hiding out, and he asked this question and said, Why is this happening? And he said, I sought the soul of the Lord, glorify the Lord, sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from my fears. And those who looked to the Lord are radiant. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him, and he saved him out of his trouble. And he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard him. It said the righteous cry out in verse 17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears him and delivers him from all their troubles. So the psalmist cried that out in verse, Psalm 37 too. Go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, as David again wrote this, he starts by saying, do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong, for like grass they will soon wither, like green plants they will soon die away. Verse 5, it says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him and he will do this, for he will make the righteous shine like the dawn. Verse 10 says, in a little while the wicked will be no more, though you look for them, they will not be found. Then he goes on to say in verse 13, but the wicked, Lord laughs at the wicked. He knows their day are coming. Verse 20, the wicked will perish and the Lord's enemies will be like the beauty of the fields. They will vanish like smoke. So he goes on to say in Psalm 37 that it seems like the wicked may be flourishing now. It seems like the weeds may be flourishing now, but the day will come when the Lord will set it straight. 2 Peter chapter 2, you can write that chapter down and read that later. That talks about that, about people, the Lord bringing judgment when that time comes. So it brings us to the fourth point. Why is the Lord allowing the wheat to remain with the weeds? And it's simply this, because God is extremely patient, giving people time to repent. And so he's delaying his coming. He's delaying the harvest, letting the wheat grow and letting the weeds grow in the field, hoping that they will come and believe and trust in him. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 9. The Lord says this. First of all, you must understand, then the last day scoffers will come. And I hear the pages turning. That's good. I know you're with me. 2 Peter 3, I'm in verse 3. Scoffing and following their own evil desires, they will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on since it has in the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forgot that word long ago, that the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water by water. And by these waters, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of godly men. What he's talking about here is people saying, well, why is the Lord coming? People are saying the Lord's coming and he hasn't come yet. And he said they said that the same time of the day of Noah. And remember, the flood wasn't coming and then the world of that time was destroyed. That's what he went on to say. But verse 8, but don't forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, the day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. And the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, but he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So God is delaying the harvest. He's delaying his return to allow people time to repent. He's allowing the weeds to grow, hoping that they'll come to trust in him, that they'll come to acknowledge the Lord. And so for those friends and family that you know that don't know Jesus, he's giving them time to grow in the field, hoping that they'll come to know and trust him. He's delaying the harvest to give time for people to know him. His patient, he's extremely patient. Fifth thing we see from this story is uprooting the weeds too early can damage the wheat. Jesus, whenever the farmer said to him, do you want us to go and to pull the weeds up? He says in verse 29, no, because while you were pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Because the darnel and the wheat look so much alike, if someone would have pulled up the weeds, they would have ended up maybe pulling up those who were saved. And so Jesus is saying that the harvest, uprooting the weeds too early, bringing his judgment too soon on those who don't know him, can damage the weeds, the wheat, because the Lord wants us in the world so that we can be an influence in the world. So we can be an influence to those who don't know Jesus. Sometimes he uses those who are unsaved in our life to help us learn to be more patient. Sometimes he uses those who are unsaved in our life to help us learn to be more loving and kind to them. And so to pull them up too soon, it damages us because it doesn't help us learn to grow to maturity. It doesn't help us to become the people God wants us to be. So Jesus said, let them both remain and grow together until the harvest comes, which brings us to the last point. That when the harvest, the final harvest is gathered, the Lord will separate his own. That's the midnight cry. That's when the dead in Christ will be gathered up to meet the Lord in the air. Aren't you looking for that day? And those of us who are alive and remain will be taken up to meet the Lord in the air. That's when the Lord will send the harvesters to separate the wheat from the weeds. And the final separation will come. He said, then, when the harvest has come, they will gather the wheat and bring it into my barn, but the weeds will be collected up and burned. The distinction at the final harvest will be clear. When that trumpet sounds and the Lord returns and his angels come for us, that distinction will be clear because the Lord knows his own. Here's the difference. When it comes to maturity, there's what the darnel looks like and there's what the wheat looks like. Can you tell a difference now? At harvest time, it's clear, the distinction is known. And it's known to the Lord out always, even though during that time we can't tell. Because the wheat will bow. When wheat becomes mature and it's ready to be harvested, and Thelma knows this, the wheat heads of wheat will bow like this. And they come over, and you know that they're ready and they're ready to be harvested. Right, Gene? Because they bow and they come over. But you know what happens to the darnel? The head stays straight up. They don't bow over. See, the wheat bows before the Lord in submission, in surrender, in worship, but the darnel stands straight up, trusting in its own righteousness, trusting in pride, refusing to bow before the Lord. And the distinction becomes very clear to the Lord, who was the harvester, who knows when harvest time comes. So the wheat will bow. The wheat will be gathered up. Notice the difference. The wheat will be gathered up and safely put into the barn. Gathered up. Does that remind you of something else? The rapture happens. Those who are saved are what? Gathered up to the Lord and taken safely into the barn, his presence. The barn there, it's a picture and description of heaven. A place of eternal rest, a place of eternal joy, a place of enjoying the Lord's presence forever, a place of eternal fellowship, a place where the wheat will shine, it says, will shine like the stars in the righteousness of heaven. But what happens to the weeds? Jesus says, the weeds will burn. It says, notice that verse 40, the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire. So it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, but the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So the weeds will burn. Notice the difference. They will be pulled up. Notice the saints are gathered up. The weeds are pulled up and thrown into the fire. Which one would you rather be? I would rather want to be gathered up to Jesus, wouldn't you, and be safely taken into the barn? But the weeds are going to be pulled up and thrown into the fire. And the day when the final day of harvest comes, when the final day of judgment comes. And the fire is a picture and description of hell. Outer darkness, eternal separation, eternal suffering, eternal punishment forever and away from the presence of God. So the wheat and tares are growing together now. The Lord is delaying his coming to give people time to repent, to help us learn even how to be more patient and loving to those who don't know Christ. to help us to be patient with God's patience, but also knowing that where God is at work, Satan's going to be working there too. But the harvest day is coming. We don't know when it is, but when that harvest day comes, the wheat will be safely gathered home. If you know Christ, you can rejoice in that, to knowing that you will be safely gathered home and put in the storehouse in the Father's barn forevermore. For those that don't know Christ are going to face that eternal punishment. But knowing that the wheat and the weeds are going to grow together until that day. Evil looks like it may be getting the upper hand. It looks like at times it seems like it may be winning, but it will not, because God will set it all right in the end at the day of final harvest. And that's encouragement that we have to look forward to. And Jesus ended this story and the explanation of it, as he did as we saw 2 weeks ago in verse 43, by saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Understand the meaning of this story. It's not just a good story, but there's a truth behind it that I want you to know. God is great. And there's two groups of people, the weed or the wheats. Where are you in that field of the harvest that is growing? Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the great harvester, and that you are planting in your field those who love you. And Lord, that you are extremely patient and you are delaying your coming to allow the weeds that are still growing to have a chance to become good wheat, to have a chance to become to know you as Lord and Savior. And Lord, but you know that someday that you will return. And Lord, your word says that we need to examine ourselves to make sure that we are in the household of faith. And Lord, if there's someone here this morning that is not sure that today would be harvest day, that they would be gathered up to you, then today's the day they need to be made. We need all to make sure of that decision. Because, Lord, the wheat and the weeds will grow together until the harvest. That can happen even within the church. There can be people that come to church and have never, ever trusted you. So, Lord, if there's someone here today and is not sure, that today would be the day of salvation for them. Lord, for all of us, may we be encouraged that even though it seems like evil may be overtaking at times, that when the harvest day comes, you will make it right and you will separate your own and we will be gathered safely home to you. Thank you for that promise. Thank you for that assurance and that reality, and for your word that continues to encourage us as we live for you today. So as we labor in the field, may we be faithful to you as you grow within us and as we become more like you. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.